You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Chances on the short falls of greed will never are gonna feel what you need when what you really want inside can only come from you. Ghetto Fever, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. The government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto Fever.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God. For all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. How are you? This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend, that you'll get a chance to do all the things you must do, can do, should do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, and you will get it done. You ain't going to put it off. You ain't going to procrastinate. You ain't going to get lazy with it. You're going to get it done. That's why we have much love and admiration and respect for you, brother and sister. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and then you'll see the drop down, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Another way you can get those programs a little bit easier, whatever the search engine you use, you know, just put it up there, babaoshi.net, Baba, B-A-B-A, Oshi, O-S-H-I, .net, babaoshi.net, and once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. You are listening to African Perspectives, other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. From 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central, with Dr. Kamal Kamban, his wife, Dr. Mawia Kamban, and their daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparation with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday, then today's Friday, oh, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, at 8 p.m. this evening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening. Tomorrow, Saturday, at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Mamani Tahemba. Brother, go to his website, because everything you need to take a trip of a lifetime will be there for you. Even if you're not taking one of the trips that, one of the tours that he has on the board, still, you're going to need information. And right there is where you get it. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Visa information, the paperwork you may need and so forth, shots you may need, everything. But if you want to take one of these trips, the next one coming up is May. May 24th to June 5th, 2022 is only $3,800 going to Ghana. Then November 17th through the 28th for $3,800 going to Tanzania. Then December 24th to January 5th, 2023 for $4,000, a couple hundred dollars more, going to Ghana. And then March 31st to April 10th, 2023 is $3,800 because it was one that was postponed for this time. And that is to Senegal and Gambia. Brothers and sisters, also you can get information about buying land, investment at the Black Star Repatriation and Pan-African Community in Ghana. All that information is right there for you, brothers and sisters. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see videos, if you want to see photos of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habeshaw Incorporated. Habeshaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Brothers and sisters, these brothers and sisters are doing the work right here in the Atlanta area and on the continent with the Kashi Project. The programs they have here are Habeshaw Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Growth and Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project launch will be October 8th through the 17th, 2022. October 8th through the 17th, 2022 in Ghana, West Africa. The beautiful buildings they have, the whole layout will be presented. Okay? For more information, go to HabeshawIncorporated.org/Kashi, K-A-S-H, /Kashi, K-A-S-I, K-A-S-I. All right. The LEDGE program, brothers and sisters, the LEDGE group stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. And, of course, LEDGE deals with the four areas of human existence, food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six different African countries with over 172 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE group because membership has its privileges. You have the opportunity to buy land. You can buy land in Tanzania, maybe overlooking Mount Kilimanjaro. Or over the savannah or the fire. Oh, man, beautiful. For $250 an acre. $250 an acre in Tanzania. Go to the LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Abibiatumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com, Abibiatumi.com. They have the program for the young Simbas, Build Our Institutions, Simba. Hold up that which holds you up. And the only problem I have with my website here has been acting really funny. It's got a nice piece on here, but I may not be able to move it. And then I'm right, I can't. You know. But they have a program. They have great programs. Brothers and sisters, go to Abibiatumi. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. Abibiatumi.com. Smile Pharmacy. Smile Pharmacy. S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, SmilePharmacy.com. Brothers and sisters, go to the website, check it out. Give my brother, Brother Jabril, a call at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6221. He can write a program out for you that'll help you develop your health going forward. You know, maybe you, like myself, have gained weight that I need to lose and I'm going to. Maybe you have some ailments that you're dealing with and you maybe want to look for a more holistic way, more homeopathic way. You don't want the drugs. You're probably taking 4 or 5 drugs. And you know what this society does? It pushes them. This society is a drug pusher. And maybe you want to do something in the area of gaining health naturally, having weight loss naturally. Sustaining your life in a longer sense. We're talking about instead of a few more years, a few more decades. Give Brother Jabril a call at 731-327-6229. You can email him at smifarmacy@gmail.com. That's smaifarmacy@gmail.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta and Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which unfortunately is still closed. And I'm quite sure it'll be opening soon because everything else is opening up. The masks are off a lot of the people. But there's some people like myself who still wear masks. Exactly. So go to the Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. On Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food that you can partake in. And I think it's about $10 to $15 a plate, but it's excellent. I've tried it before. Haven't been there in a while with it. But, yeah. Okay. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Went to see Mama Nia yesterday. She looks lovely, doing work. She's cleaning up the store, you know. Always keeping it together. Looks great. Right on the main strip of Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore. Medu means writings. Netcher means gods. That's what the Greeks call the hieroglyphs, the Medu Netcher. And that's what she has in her store, the Medu, the writings. And give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, figurines, T-shirts, all kind of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we talk about here is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar located in Lithonia. That's east of here, right on off of I-20, Interstate 20. Going east from Atlanta, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. 404-519-8107. Give my brother Kazim Diajamu a call at, once again, at 404-519-8107. So I'm a brother again because I went over to the new Black Wall Street Market located in east of Lithonia, which is Stonecrest. The city of Stonecrest, right near the Stonecrest Mall, and the new Black Wall Street Market. I tell you, I talked to him about what's happening there, and he feels good about what's happening there. And I talked to a few other vendors, store owners, you know, and believe me, it's going to make it happen. They're going to make it happen. And his place is the Afroletics. That's African of theme athletic wear, you know, shirts and so forth, T-shirts, hats, athletic wear with the Zulus, the Omex, the Moors, the Dogon Starseed, the Herus, the Rebels, and stuff like that. Just excellent stuff. I got a shirt of Marcus Garvey from him last year. Yep, love it, love it. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Uchima. Their Thursday night broadcast last night went well, but today is the conference. Today is the conference, brothers and sisters, for Us Lifting Us. Today is the conference. Go to their website, usliftingus.com, and register for the conference. Only $35. Desperately needed information, definitely needed for us to come together to do what we need to do as a people. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Homeland Village and Cultural Center in Macon, Georgia, Brother Abijah. He's open this weekend, of course. He's giving him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. That's the Cultural Center, Homeland Village Cultural Center and Gift Shop. Brother has it all, and it's all about African unity. He has it off from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall. That's right, inside the International Discount Mall. Booth 225. For more information, contact my good sister, Shelly Amonset, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeast portion of the island of Haiti, up in the hills, where, of course, you know, they don't get too much funding up there because, after all, you know, They don't have no safety net. And so they rely on people like you and me to make some donations, either ongoing or one time, whatever the case may be, all is welcome. So check it out. Go online to Sonjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Akaban Institute, apologize for Wednesday. I wasn't able to go on. I was just still battling too much. It would have been too much of an interference. I decided, and Brother Kwaku put on a program with Baba Baruti. It's always good to have Baba Baruti on. Yes, it is. In fact, he'll be on Monday. That's right. So, brothers and sisters, Baba Baruti will be on Monday. As you know, I forego all of the stuff that I'm doing right now to give him as much time as he can, because he's only on a few times a year, and we want to maximize that time. So Baba Baruti will be on this Monday, the 14th, and I look forward to you listening and look forward to your questions or comments or concerns. But in the meantime, you can support Baba Baruti by making a check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You can use PayPal, put yahbaruti.yahoo for PayPal. Or Cash App, $YAAM, the letter M, and then Baruti. So there's ways that you can do that. And, of course, you can also go online to the many books that he has written at AkabanHouse.com. AkabanHouse.com. And buy some of his literature. One of the things that, of course, that I have, that I read all the time that we're here, is the Enye Sesim. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to read a few of these today, as I always do on Friday. I'm going to read more than three. I'll probably leave five. they're so pointed, brothers and sisters. You know it, man. They'd be on point, man. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that Europe has had on our ability to think victoriously. Mama Marimba Ani. I read that many times when I read Nkrumah and what he had to say and, you know, about our liberation. When I taught at Morehouse, a Negro college, once declared that I, when I taught at Morehouse, a Negro colleague once declared that I was a psychotic revolutionary. I said then, as I say now, that I take great pride in such an honor. Today, those bestowing this honor have grown to include homosexualized Negroes or homosexualized Africans and their inherent defenders, so-called black feminists, Marxists, Greeks, pacifists, compromised and frustrated spiritualists, and, of course, European intellectuals. Usually the best indicator of whether we are on the right path is the disapproval of those who are and uphold what we fight against. Since to be classified as sane in the West testifies to your insanity then. To be called the worst of an insane by Europeanized Africans and the like is the ultimate compliment. Ashe. Affirm I have separated my thought from Europeans' thought. Ashe. Affirm I have separated my thought from Europeans' thought. March 10th. Powerlessness breeds a race of beggars. Kwame Ture and Charles Hamilton. Most Africans in the West society assume that integration is a two-way process of equal give and take. After all our hard lessons, the melting pot delusion is still alive and well in our community. Too many of us also assume that so-called integration is a positive that we should aspire to. However, integration is not what has happened. Most Africans and African culturalism that Europeans have allowed to be absorbed into their culture and assumed a lesser of subordinate importance and status. Therefore, in using the word integration, we may be using the correct dictionary denunciation, but it is the incorrect connotation for Africans in the Western reality. Instead, we need a term that is more appropriately fits this reality. Sub-integration, you know, sub underneath. So ain't really, I've often said, you know, integration is what you have and what I have, and we bring it together, the best of what we both have, recognizing the rest of the world. No, that has not happened. They didn't want nothing of ours. They just want us to assimilate or sub-integrate. Sub-integration would be more accurate description because it is a term that includes not only the basic ideal definition of integration, but also includes the way in which Africans and our cultural aspects are introduced and incorporated into and recognized by Western culture and society. To be mindful here that we are not speaking of those ancient and traditional African ideas and technology that were stolen and distorted into the foundations of European thought and behavior, because these Africanisms are not accepted or admitted as African within European culture, thought, and society. Not at all. Affirm, I do not strive to be integrated into that which is inferior. Affirm, I do not strive to be integrated into that which is inferior. March 11th. Our work has only begun. Our culture must strike the blow that would make us free. Ida B. Wells. We are at war and have been at war with Europeans and others, aggressors against our children, selves, ancestors, and the spirit for over 4,000 years. And since the battle is still raging, we must defend our children by preparing them to fight with the will and commitment of those Africans who entered the battlefield to engage our enemies from the start. War is waged on every institutional front. We battle our enemy spiritually, intellectually, economically, politically, and in the home. No institution has a monopoly on the battlefield for the sanity and physical safety of our people. Knowing this and knowing that, out of misdirected thought and fear retaliation, we have consistently placed every institution before that of the military. We need to reconsider the military's role in our liberation. The military side of our relationship with others who have standing armies, which they readily use in maneuvers against us, should never be subjugated to a drive to attain peace at any cost. We must build our armies and prepare our children to man them. We must prepare them not for the slave mentality that fears death for any reason, but for liberated mentality, which willingly sacrifices its physical existence to ensure the geopolitical, economic, and cultural solvency of the seventh generation after them. A powerful and dedicated military is a necessary institution and instrument to this end. Affirm, I'm preparing our children for the front lines. Affirm, I am preparing our children for the front lines. July. March 12th. March. See, I saw Julius Nyerere's name. I said July. Julius Nyerere. The basic difference between a socialist society, a capitalist society, does not lie in their methods of producing wealth, but in the way that wealth is distributed. Julius Nyerere. Pan-African nationalist socialism is the only political philosophy that can bring us safely back home. Pan-African, of course, means the inclusion of all African people globally in this effort and benefit, no matter how diverse or tainted our blood may be. We are one family forming one nation. Nationalism speaks to the political character of African people and turns our attention toward the motherland as the natural home of our political core. Nationalism also centers us in the land question, directing our thoughts toward the need for a stable, protected, identifiable geographical place where we have our most ancient and profound roots. Socialism is descriptive of the nature of our interaction with each other, economic and otherwise. It makes the needs of individual people, their families, and their surrounding communities to be a social priority. A deep sense of honor and obligation rule this way of social relationships. And, of course, This deeply personal priority goes all the way up to the national level, but never loses its humanistic simplicity as we shift our focus from micro to macro levels of commitment. Affirm, my wealth is my community. Affirm, my wealth is my community. Let me read one more here. I thought it was pretty. Our ancestors' pain runs through our veins. The original king. They forced us out of our spirituality, and now we have succumbed to their religion. They turned us against our melanin, and now we worship its absence. They led us to be ashamed of our organs and origins, and now we claim sources anywhere except home. They punish us into fear of true drumming, and now we have given them our circles. They starved us and then fed us wasted waste called food, and now we are replenished by and now we are replenished by fruits, vegetables, and herbs. They have trained us to crave being inside an artificial experience, and now we are afraid to go out and touch and be touched by nature. We have moved from possession to dispossession and life to death. Affirm, I feel what my ancestors felt. Affirm, I feel what my ancestors felt. The Inye Sesem, brothers and sisters, of daily revolutionary thought. The Inye Sesem. Yeah. As I said, Monday, Baba Baruti will be our guest. And it's going to be an outstanding program. Oh, and once again, too, on Fridays, I always like to announce my brother's program, which is Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Brother Youssef Muhammad, former president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, as I am as well. And that program is from 4 to 6 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, or give them a call to listen or give questions or comments or concerns. And the program time is from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. from 4 to 6 p.m. today on Fridays. 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Yeah, today this is Women's Month. It was International Women's Day when I was not here. And so, I mean, you know, we celebrate our sisters all the time, you know, but we're going to play one from the home team and on the 10 greatest African warrior queens, the 10 greatest African warrior queens, because we recognize, and next week, I'm going to try to place something from American African sisters who have been acknowledged and who have been on the front lines. So some you'll know, of course, and because, you know, they, you know, some you know and some you won't know. So I'll do a little research and see if I can find some folks I think who are worthy of acknowledgement. They all are. Shouldn't say it like that. They are all worthy of acknowledgement for whatever contributions that they've made, you know. So we always must do that. Acknowledge the brothers and sisters, you know, who have given so much, you know, who have given so much. So these are the 10 exceptional African warrior queens that we all should know. This is home team.
I wanted to make a list of queens that I think we all should be aware of as Afro-descended people. I'm hoping it can be a sort of model or standard when considering great African queens. Popular culture has a tendency to pick historical figures and promote them frequently through all available mediums, whether it be education or entertainment. And so, I want the queens on this list to inspire us and our children in a similar way. Hey, hey. Roy, the Stone Team here, and welcome back to another video of African history, culture, and worldview. By supporting this channel on Patreon, you're helping in the creation of these videos and supporting this content. If you'd like access to full courses and sources, or you simply want to show your support, you may do so by clicking the Patreon link in the description box below. There were many queens on the continent of Africa, some gaining more attention than others. However, when we talk about them in classrooms or social media, I'd like for us to have our own standard list of exceptional African queens, a list that we may point to as an example and be proud of. Oftentimes, when I hear about African queens, it's the same rulers being highlighted, and admittedly, I'm guilty of that myself. But it's not that repetition is a bad thing when it comes to our history. I just want to point to some other great queens that should roll off our tongue just as much. So today, I'll be speaking about 10 African queens, three of which may be new to some of you. So let's begin. I'll start with a queen from Senegal that we often don't hear much about. Queen Ndata Yala was a queen of Wallo in 19th century Senegal. She played a crucial role during colonialism in her struggle against the French. The Kingdom of Wallo was trying to maintain its assets against the French on St. Louis Island and against other African kingdoms. The French were reliant on the Kingdom of Wallo to get goods into the island because the products had to pass through the queen's lands. The French asked the queen to stop the taxes and protested its very existence. She responded accordingly. "We have wronged no one because the country belongs to us and we must govern it. It is we who guarantee the passage of livestock in our country. For this reason, we will take a tenth and will never accept otherwise." Queen Ndata Yala stood her ground against the growing threat of the French and other Africans further north. As relations became sour, she pillaged in the French-held territories and war became inevitable. She refused to compensate the French upon their request and stop trade. She understood the temperature of the time and would not allow any deception or appeasement. After months of battle, the queen refused to surrender. Even after defeat, she still tried to rally the troops and fought bravely until the very end. She made it her mission to reject everything the French wanted to implement in her kingdom that she believed was not in the best interest of her people. And for this sacrifice, she should be remembered. Next, we have Mwana Mkisi. Queen Mwana Mkisi is of great importance to the Swahili community in Mombasa, Kenya. We don't know an exact date for her existence, but she is believed to have existed before the arrival of Islam in that region of East Africa. Queen Mwana is said to be the mother of the Thanashara Taifa, also known as the 12 Swahili tribes of Mombasa. She's an exceptional queen because she's considered by many to be the founder of Mombasa. According to oral accounts, the original name of Mombasa was called Kangawia, or Gangwa, and then Mvita. Mvita meaning place of war. This name exemplifies the history of Mombasa, which was constantly fought over. The oldest known written mention of Kangawia and the queen is from a poem by Mombasa's most famous Swahili poet named Bawana Muyaka, who lived during the 19th century. Bawana no doubt took from earlier oral sources. Here's what he has to say. Kangawia belongs to Mwana Mkisi. Mvita is the ancient city. Do not exceed its bounds, but tread respectfully therein. Cast down your head, and do not look straight with your eyes wide open. It is an abyss of deep gloom. Even those who are well informed comprehend it not. Queen Mwana Mkisi is exceptional because the local people consider her to be the founder of the first urban civilization in the region, this settlement being the center of power for the Thanashara Taifa. In many ways, insistence on remembering Queen Mwana Mkisi through oral and written transliteration symbolizes how the local people tried to keep their identity despite the intrusion of foreign influences and the erasure of local tradition. I think if the Swahili people felt the need to remember her, we should remember her as well. Next, we have Queen Idia of the 16th century. Queen Idia was the mother of Oba Asigi of the Benin Empire. She was technically a queen mother, but she held considerable power and influence. Her exploits no doubt shaped the future of Benin. During her time, Benin was in a state of crisis and civil unrest. The Igala people attempted to take advantage of this, but eventually, Oba Asigi was able to control the situation by defeating them and his rivals of the Benin throne. Queen Idia is believed to have raised an army for her son to fight off the rival to the throne. She accomplished this and many other things. This success led Asigi to credit his mother for his victory, and so he created the title Ioba, or Queen Mother, giving her significant political power, which in all honesty, she probably already possessed. He just made it official. Queen Mother Idia is an exceptional African queen because she very clearly was able to assess the situation around her and position herself and others to positions of power. That kind of political acumen is an invaluable resource and a great model for us today. Next, we have Yah Asantewaa from the Kingdom of Ashanti in the 19th century. And like Queen Idia of Benin, she was also a queen mother. Yah Asantewaa is well known in the diaspora for being the leading figure in the War of the Golden Stool against the British. Much of the literature on Yah Asantewaa concerns itself with this war. Although we are not sure about every detail concerning her involvement, Yah Asantewaa is acknowledged as the crowning patriotic figure who led the resistance. Her name is celebrated throughout the diaspora for her bravery. The British wanted to symbolically trample over the Ashanti by demanding the golden stool. Yah Asantewaa's charge to protect the stool was heard, and ultimately, the goal of protecting the soul of the Ashanti in the form of the golden stool was successful. This symbolic victory came at a price, as Yah Asantewaa was exiled to Seychelles, but her memory has never been exiled from our minds. Next, we have Queen Amina of the Hausa people. Most of what is known about Queen Amina comes from Hausa oral tradition and the Kano Chronicle, a history of the Hausa state of Kano written in the 19th century. Recent investigations into the history of Queen Amina claim that she most probably lived in the 15th century or earlier. According to oral tradition, Queen Amina expanded the empire of Zaria in northern Nigeria, which included kingdoms such as the Nupe and Kororofa. She also extended her influence over Kano and Katsina. At this time, Zaria, under Queen Amina, conquered all the towns as far as Kwarafara and Nupe. Every town paid tribute to her. The Sarakin Nupe sent 40 eunuchs and 10,000 kolas to her. She was the first to have eunuchs and kolas in Hausa land. In other words, she's considered a conqueror queen among the greatest of West Africa. Some even credit her for constructing earthen walls around her cities. It was under her rule that the state of Zaria became the most powerful in all of Hausa land. Next, we have Queen Gudi of Ethiopia. Queen Gudi is known by several names such as Yodith, Judith, and Esato. She was an Ethiopian queen believed to have existed around 970 AD. According to the Encyclopedia of African History and Culture, very little is known about Queen Gudi beyond scattered references in ancient texts and oral history. Most believe that she was vehemently opposed to the Monophysite beliefs of the Ethiopian Christian Church at the time, and designed a plan to utterly destroy the Aksumite Empire in the 10th century. Her armies razed churches and destroyed the countryside. Some believe that she was an Algol-speaking woman from the southwest region, and also, some believe that she alone ushered in the new Zagwe dynasty as her exploits left Aksum weak. Following the destruction of Aksum, Queen Gudi is said to have maintained a 40-year rule over a region historians believe may actually have been Aksum. Islamic texts have reported how after claiming the throne, her co-ruler, known only by the title of Habani, was forced into exile in Showa, where he died in 970 AD. Other sources that mention the queen include a letter sent by the last Aksumite king to church officials in Alexandria, Egypt, that pleaded in vain for their intercession. Honestly, Queen Gudi is an enigma, because we know so little about her, but her impact on Ethiopian history is huge. The fact that one queen could have so much influence and power to change the course of an ancient Ethiopian empire is nothing short of exceptional. Our next African ruler is Queen Nzinga of Angola. Queen Nzinga was an African queen of the 17th century during a time when the Portuguese were trying to gain control of the region of Angola. Queen Nzinga is remembered as a great diplomat and warrior. During her reign, the Portuguese could not get a stronghold over the region, and it is this reason why Queen Nzinga should always be remembered. Nzinga brilliantly played on African and European politics to position herself in power. She formed alliances with the Dutch to counter Portuguese influence, and she installed herself as singular regent on the thrones of Ndongo and Matamba. Portuguese alliance with other Africans in the region posed serious problems for Queen Nzinga, but ultimately they were unable to meet their objectives as long as she lived. How she was able to survive the threats of African and European powers was quite impressive, serving as a model example for the diaspora today. Because of her accomplishments, a statue of her stands tall in Angola today. Next, we have Queen Tiye of ancient Egypt. Queen Tiye was the wife of Amenhotep III in the 14th century BC. Even though she did not reign exclusively or independently, she makes my list because she did hold considerable power during her husband's reign. Queen Tiye is celebrated for her intelligence and work ethic. She was well aware of the socio-political needs of Egypt, and she held administrative functions to aid Amenhotep III in his rule. Queen Tiye sometimes instructed imperial affairs and directed royal officials. The fact that she was mentioned by foreign rulers in correspondence says a lot about her agency in Africa and abroad. As an honorable mention, I wanted to acknowledge Hatshepsut of Egypt. Hatshepsut is an interesting case because technically, during the latter end of her rule, she wasn't acknowledged as a queen, but a king or pharaoh. Ultimately, it just depends on how you would like to define things, but she promoted herself more as a pharaoh and had a great legacy. Some argue that she was one of the greatest rulers in Egyptian history, male or female. Next, we have a little known queen from West Africa named Queen Yanu. Queen Yanu was said to have existed during the time of Sunni Ali in the 15th century. Sunni Ali was arguably the greatest conqueror king of West Africa, and not many people know he had a brief skirmish with a ruler known as Yanu. Queen Yanu is said to have established herself in the mountains between Hombori and Danaka in resistance to the great Sunni Ali. The great Songhai ruler forced her to flight as he was able to capture her niece named Jata. After Sunni Ali died, Yanu is said to have re-emerged as a great ruler. The queen was known to have been a capable leader and had a dedicated group of followers. Yanu's political and military prowess were on full display when the Barakoi Mansa Musa asked for her help in putting down a revolt led by one Mendi Jam, an iron worker. At the head of some 50 cavalry, Yanu led the charge, defeating and killing Mendi Jam, after which she established the town of Buyo on choice land in Bara province, the condition for her assistance. Queen Yanu is perhaps the most unknown and forgotten queen in all of African history. She faced a great force in Sunni Ali, and with a little courage, persistence, and perhaps some luck, she outlasted the great conqueror, becoming a sort of legendary figure in West African history. And last but not least, the greatest queen in African history, in my opinion, is Queen Amonarenes. If you've been watching my channel for a while, you know I take every opportunity I can to speak about her. Rome's interaction with the world through conquest or invasion is a popular topic, and Cleopatra's interaction with Rome is also a topic of interest. However, we neglect one of the most significant moments in African history when we fail to mention Queen Amonarenes and her interaction with Rome. Around 27 BC, Queen Amonarenes had a brief military skirmish in which she invaded Roman Egypt. The head of a statue in the form of Augustus was taken off by her in contempt of this bitter encounter. Rome sought to counter the Kushite queen, but finding difficulty navigating Nubian terrain, the Romans were stymied and did not engage further. Thus, a final battle never actually occurred in which Amonarenes may have been expecting and prepared for. She kept record of everything in Meroitic script, but unfortunately, we can't fully decipher it, but we do know she ended up securing a very favorable treaty with Rome, which granted the queen all her desires. There has been no other monarch in Africa that took on such a great threat in the ancient world, going on to successfully safeguard the integrity of their borders, like Queen Amonarenus of Kush. And this is what makes her an exceptional African queen. Well, I'm all out, guys. If you like these videos and want to help in its continued production, consider supporting the home team on patreon.com. The link is in the description box below. Know thyself. Remember your ancestors. Peace.
That's great, isn't it? I tell you. It's a good brother. I'd like to meet that young man. It's a good brother, I tell you. Yah Asantewa said, if you, the men of Ashanti, will not go forward, then we, the women, will. We will fight till the last of us falls in the battlefield for the golden stool, Queen Yah Asantewa. We have always, just like in the movie Wakanda, the Black Panther, just like then, we have always had sisters who will continue to fight, who will continue to battle. You know, I can only think of one Caucasian woman in their history, Joan of Arc, who they eventually hung, who said she was inspired by God to do the battle against the French or for the French. I don't know. You know, they made a movie out of her, of course, you know. But there were many African women all the way from ancient times to this day. That's why we don't need a month, a week to honor our women. We should honor them all the time. But brothers and sisters, we're not in a culture that honors women. They get lip service Mother's Day and this day. This is not a culture that honors women. European culture does not respectfully deal with women. In fact, that's one of the things the Greeks had problems with, is how Africans, particularly Kemetic people, treated their women. Because in Greek society, they alienated women. Alienated them to such degree that women went to the island of Lesbo. They went to the island of Lesbo. I remember about 5 years ago, the Syrians were leaving out of Syria because Assad was, there was all kind of conflict and they were migrating. And so in the news said, yes, a group of Syrians landed on the island of Lesbo. I said, no shit. Okay. Yeah, the island of Lesbo. Of course, where you get the word lesbian, because they turned the women off. They alienated the women. See, their culture and our culture, that's why I say, and just when I read the Enye Sesim, we must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts. And it's difficult because you're bombarded 24/7, 365. That's why when I mentioned that documentary, Everything's Gonna Be All White, the backlash, the reactions from us, calling it racist, not understanding what racism is and what is racist. I'm gonna talk about that. Oh, I got to, because it's ridiculous. I understand it from Caucasians, from Europeans, from Urugu, clearly, because you see what's going on with all these laws that are being passed. One's coming up in Florida real soon, where you can't basically talk about history, especially if it's not something that kind of helps to glorify or hurt young white folks, little children. They don't give a damn about our children. They don't give a damn. But they worry about the little white kids, how it'll hurt them, how they'll be seen, how they'll make them feel, knowing that their people were so bad and did such terrible things. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, We'll open the lines. There's a bunch of you on here. So, you know, you hit star twice to talk, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And I'm going to say I'm going to cut it short because of Us Lifting Us Conference, Ulu's Conference today, tomorrow, and part of Sunday, half of Sunday. And I'll give you the details on that. And we'll go forward from there, right? Okay, family. Okay, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. You'll be right back. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
Right now, we'd like to take a musical trip through your mind with the tune I just recorded, Valdez in the Country.
Valdez in the Country, Donny Hathaway. Yeah, I heard what I thought was Valdez in the Country, but it turned out to be another piece. And so, oh, that reminds me of that tune, and I hadn't heard it in quite a while. So I went on YouTube, of course. That's a good place to go to get a lot of good stuff, you know, a lot of good information, you know, and pulled it up. And that's what I did. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Baba Oshi. And so I'm not going to read any of the information. I'm just going to turn it over to you right now. We're going to be going to the Us Lifting Us conference at 1 o'clock. So I'm just going to, you know, be on the horn with you for a few more minutes. And so if you got any questions, comments, or concerns, hit star twice or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 for any questions, comments, or concerns about anything we talked about or anything that's on your mind for this weekend. 404-453. Good afternoon.
Yehudu, my Lord.
Hey,
my Lord.
Man. What's up, brother? How you doing, Research West? How are you?
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm still good. Hey, the brother that was on for you Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He said he's going to send us some books, one for me and one for you. So whenever they get here, I'm going to find you.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give you a book, man.
I'll be looking forward to it.
Yes, sir, because he's 81 years old, man. You know,
oh, right
young,
on.
Man.
Right on.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No, I can't think his name, but anyhow, uh-huh. Man, there's so much stuff going on. My research, I found out the original name for the motherland is Al-Kibalan.
Well, that's a debate. Yeah. They debated that so many times, whether it was Al-Kibalan, whether it's Ethiopia, whether it's Africa, so many other names. And I think that, you know, whether we go with that or whatever we do, we just mm-hmm. march together. Whatever we do, we march together. Because one thing is for sure. Whatever we want to call it, that's one thing. What's most important is what we do with it. What we do with it, because it's our responsibility to liberate Africa as well. And Africa needs to be liberated, because right now it's still in deep turmoil. In fact, I just listened to the news and with the fighting that's going on in the Congo. You know, the Congo is the richest continent, the richest country in Africa, the richest country on the continent, and it has been so fragmented for decades, plundered and so forth, and yet and still, it still has more resources than it seems like.
I got a question for Wes when you finish.
Oh, okay, Jay, for sure. Okay,
they got so many conflicts going on over there, man. These Europeans like Biden them, they're trying to do what they do. And overtake countries where they put in their puppet rulers, man.
Right. Well, they're
so
just
that's what they're hoping.
They just bombed Somalia again. I didn't even know that until I seen it in listening to the news. They just bombed Somalia, and I don't know why. I didn't get the details on it just last week. Mm-hmm. You know. So mm-hmm. I mean, the politics that happen in this world has it relates to Africa. It's adverse. Uh-huh. It's always adversarial, you know.
And get back to our plight, man.
Yeah.
Oh, even our damn America, you know, the enemy of my enemies, my friends. But what the hell are they talking about? Putting sanctions on somebody always.
Yeah.
They don't never talk about going around, marching around, talking about just no justice, no damn peace. You got to hit these fuckers with the money, man.
Yeah.
It's like that thing will happen when that Kugler guy in Atlanta, Bank of America in January. You heard about that, right?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
so
see,
that's what, see, these Negroes think they got all this money. They still a Negro. And it was black on black for that lady to call on that brother, man.
Well.
So I tell everybody, take your money out of damn Bank
well,
of
see,
America.
Well, see, he came in there, and I guess mm-hmm. he had done it before. I'm quite sure he has. I mean, he's wealthy. He had probably done it before. And he came in. Of course, you got to wear masks. He came in with the shades. He came in with a hat on. He slipped a note to her. He said, gave her the account number. Everything was legit.
Yeah.
Everything was legit, but she took it as,
yes,
you know, that he was trying to rob the bank. You know?
And they ain't none of her goddamn money, right? I mean, they got even her damn money, man.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these mandatory millionaires and Negroes, man. Man, that's the whole thing is some BS, man.
Yeah.
I knew when I seen the way her hair looked, that's who she loved, the white man. Over the white man money, man. And then the stupid ass police, they do the same thing, man. That's why I moved out of Atlanta, man.
Well,
I don't like the APD, man.
Yeah. Well, you know the thing is, and right, everybody involved was African, was American African.
Yeah,
everybody involved, the arresting people, the bank itself, although it's a Caucasian bank, but the teller and the management was us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, Wes. Hold on, I'm gonna get Jay in here. He has a question for you. 646, all right. 646, good afternoon.
Hey, yo, Wes, man, let me ask you a quick question. Where you get this My Lord Sugar Honey Ice Tea from that had to do with African people? My Lord,
don't
that
sound
like
you
some European nonsense?
Can I explain?
Yeah.
Because they got Negroes like you talking about My Lord and Jesus. Blue-eyed, brown hair. Some damn dead Iceman on a stick. These Negroes calling him My Lord. So I called a brother called me My Lord. So I returned the favor and called you and every man look like us My Lord, bro. Okay, that's why I do it, man. To try to flip the script and the paradigm on these words, man. That's why I do it. I call you My Lord, man. All right? Ain't no damn blue-eyed damn devil My Lord. Okay? It's not you, our Lord. That's why I call every brother My Lord, man. Any more questions?
Let me say this to you, Wes. On that one there, flip it back the other way, man. Leave that alone because that sound retarded, bro. My Lord. Imagine me and you both in the street and you walk up to me and you say to me, My Lord. I'ma look at you like you bigger.
I know it's wrong.
Crazy,
I'm bigging you up, man.
Crazy Negro.
I'm bigging you up, man. I rather go.
Hey, Wes, you ain't no little boy. You a big dude. You know what I mean? What are you around?
Yes, sir. I wish you'd see what he see me, man.
No, I mean, Wes, Wes, hold on 1 second. I saw you make your famous statement with Margie Goodman. God bless America, man. And you know the first thing that came to my mind was Bigger Thomas.
Bigger,
you ain't no little boy.
Bigger Thomas.
Hey,
Ochi. Ochi. Yeah, Jay.
West is around 275.
Okay.
6'4", easy.
Well, right on. He's a big man. It's
you
a good
know,
thing.
He's not no little dude. And on top of that, he had on what they think I call overalls.
Overalls, huh? Bib overalls.
Man,
because he's working. Because he's working,
I tell
man.
You remind me of a big old country boy from Alabama.
Because he's doing work, man. Jay, he's doing work. He ain't playing.
Man.
He ain't playing. He's doing work.
That's
right.
West, my man, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing about West. Wes bring the knowledge and the wisdom, man, and he's always trying to bring forward our people to a higher level.
That's right.
I just have the utmost respect for the brother, and that's why, you know, I laugh and I joke with him, but he's definitely Research Wes, man.
That's right.
And he's doing good things for not only the community, but for liberating us into getting our minds back.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Because,
right on.
You know,
appreciate
one
that.
Thing about Wes, he always brings controversial information, but if you look further into it, it's truthful information, and it's that type of information that we need to get our heads right. Because, you know, as a people, we really, instead of falling forward, if the truth be told, we falling backwards.
No doubt.
I'm sorry to
say
it, but we falling backwards because, you know, we done allowed this special individual called the Yorugu to control and capture our minds. But hey,
put me on hold.
And,
all right, brother.
What time are you going off the air?
Probably about 12:30, 22. So I'm gonna get ready to be a part of the Ulu conference, and I got a little piece to do. They're gonna do a libation. And so, you know, I'm gonna get ready to do that. I got you on hold too, Brother Wes. So you guys know what to do. Hit your star twice if you want to jump in for conversation. Anybody else? I got a number of people on the queue. Hit star twice. Let me know that you want to. You got a question, comment, or concern. You know, one of the things I can say I'm going to talk about, I'm going to send Baba Baruti that piece that Wes sent me on Smokey. You know, it's the issue of us not wanting to be African, but wanting to be black. And it speaks to the fact that this Caucasian has done a damn good job on our minds, making us reject. You know, it's just like that that piece I often read by Era Hone, which is a deep piece, you know, by Brother Era Hone, because they're so thorough in what they've done. It reads, Ezra Era Hone, there is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. We've abandoned Africa to be a part of this insanity. We rejected Africa and African people to be a part of this madness. The way we look, changing our hair, contact lenses, bleaching our skin, wanting whiteness, wanting to be with white women as opposed to our own sisters. There is no other historical, nothing in history of a formerly enslaved people, when they captured us and subjugated us, the job was so well, damn it, done that our minds are so messed up that we want to integrate with our captors to the point where we have completely abandoned the superior wealth of our own homeland, and you see it being manipulated, undermining in all the wars and so forth, as opposed to the unity that we so desperately need. Not one cultural group or another, if you want to call them a tribe, whatever, I don't give a damn, but not one over another. It's one Africa. It's one Africa. Let me read to you again, damn it, what Kwame Nkrumah said. He said, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. How prophetic Kwame Nkrumah was. 1957, the first African country to gain so-called independence from Europeans, Ghana. And it wasn't until the 70s, 20-some years later, when Zimbabwe and later South Africa and Namibia began to fall. And even at that time, Europeans having robbed and pillaged and plundered Africa, still to this day. And I've played on this program many times, and if you haven't heard it, then you go to YouTube and put in Howard Nicholas. Howard Nicholas, where this Caucasian said, we must keep Africa poor. We must keep them in this begging mode so we can manipulate them and undermine them and take their resource. We want their, we must not let them produce anything. There must not be any production of the wealth that they have, the mineral wealth that they have. No. They must continue to be. In fact, I maintain what he's saying also is genocide. We must begin to exercise population control and begin to eliminate them to control their land and their resources. And many of us don't do a damn thing about it. The so-called legislators here don't advocate on behalf of Africa. Hell, they don't even advocate on behalf of American Africans. There are more American African legislators on a state level, regional level, county level, national level than there's ever been. And yet all the maladies persist, all the poverty, all of the health issues, all the social issues, they persist. More profound in us than in any other group. Unemployment, underemployment, education, health. We have been designated in this environment, in this culture, by these people as a permanent under. Yes, because you see a Negro or two who are doing well. And of course, their mindset, you see this, you too, you can do this. Oh, they truly feel fortunate. Oh, they definitely feel blessed. They feel blessed and highly favored. There's no doubt. But their mindset is you too can do this. Not understanding, no, you can't. It's not designed for us to make it. It is not designed for us to make it. It's designed that some of us may make it so they can be an example. But us as a people, oh, are you kidding? Stop it. In their world, they control. This is theirs. They control the images. They control the narrative. And somehow we believe that we can influence it. We can petition it. We can sue it and win in the courts, and it'll change. And because Caucasians felt, oh, wait a minute, it's slipping. I got to retrieve this. I got to get this back. I got to institute some laws, some stuff. I got to control the voting issue. The damn Republicans have no damn ideas, but yet them son of a bitches have instituted all kinds of laws against suppressing voting. It's ridiculous that it's even being done. It's ridiculous that they even talk about Donald Trump's ass running for president. How ridiculous is this shit? This man is a criminal. And then the others talking about the education. We're gonna have bills that that you can't say this and you can't say that. Critical race theory. That's what I'm saying. This documentary, everything is gonna be all white, and you hear a lot of the reactions. Particularly, I've seen some reactions by Caucasians, but that would be natural. Of course, they're going to react negatively towards it. But it's the amount of reactions that they have put on Facebook by us, that's intentional. Because they want you to see that you ain't supposed to like this. You ain't supposed to. See, I understand the documentary had some comics or comedians. I understand it as satire as well as historical. I understand there's professors and those who study this stuff. I understand that. But a lot of our people don't. And they sure in the hell don't, unless, of course, they were being paid. But see, you're trained to think that you have your own mind, that you're thinking clearly. Like, I listened to this one brother, and I thought that, you know, he, as he was talking about it, he was saying, you know, that I think this way. Oh, you know what? You think that way. If your ass is talking about being black, and yeah, I'm going to do this, you know, because, you know, when I first heard that piece by Smokey, and I played it, and I thank you again, Brother Research West. When I first played that piece by Smokey, when I first heard it, which is, I heard it 18 years ago. Wow, man. And I heard it when it came out on Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO. And Brother Bay, Most Deaf, introduced him. And he came out and he did his poem. You know, I felt, you know, if you know me, even back then, I felt some kind of way. Because I wasn't thinking black. I've been thinking African for, I was already Oshiemi Adela. I wasn't Eddie Brown. I've been Oshi in my mind, in my heart, for damn near 40 fucking years of my 70 year life. I think I need to take a break. What do you think, family? You know, I tell you, you know, the issues affecting our people, as Nathan McCall would say, makes you want to holler. Makes you want to holler. Marvin Gaye, makes you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. Makes you want to holler. You know, when you learn what has been done and what continues to be done, you know, I don't know why I keep, sometimes I miss the brother's name, you know, and it's ridiculous. I guess part of me getting old, James Baldwin. I keep thinking Richard Wright. I know it's not Richard Wright, it's James Baldwin. But James Baldwin said, if you know all this and you're not enraged, something wrong with you. You know all of this madness, all this shit that's happened, and you're not enraged? Something wrong with you. Yeah. I like my conversations with my good brother, Brother Irv. Irvin Lewis. Yeah. Good brother out of Baltimore. And all the other good brothers and sisters that listen to the program. And surprisingly, you know, for me, there was a number of them because, you know, I call up to Brother Elliot and talk with him. And I don't go into the back room. Brother Kwaku does. So Brother Kwaku knows the amount of people that listen to the program on a you know, daily or every Monday, Wednesday, or Friday or that week or whatever. I see the people who call. Like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people that have called in who just want to listen. And that's cool. And I appreciate this. Every time you, I'm just going to say this. I appreciate it. I really do. But I would be on here willingly every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, whether somebody called in or listened or not. You know, I've been now doing this. It'll be 8 years. 8 years come October. You know, but I've been on radio before. I had a program, me and Brother Tejumala Olaboni, we had a program once a week, and the management, he said, man, get the moth off my radio, man. You're going to make me lose my sponsorship. Get them cats off the radio. It's a 1 week Wednesday on Wednesday. Shoot. Gonna make us lose our sponsorship. Oh, man. that's right, brother. I was talking about you, man. Brother Kwaku. That's right. Yeah, 1290, man. You remember them days. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I tell you, I can't wait to continue to resume the broadcast and resuming my conversations with us. You know, I appreciate us so much. I love us so much, you know. And so I'm going to be getting off this. I'm going to get off this horn. I'm going to get off this program so I can transition to prepare myself for the Us Lifting Us conference, which is this weekend. And you can go to usliftingus.com and you can get the information about the conference and you can join it. Get the web link, okay? And you can join the conference. Let me go to give you some highlights about the conference. How about that? That'd be a good idea. So in that way, you can know. I know I had the Sister Mama Lou on. She was on with me, and but I'm gonna. Here's the schedule, and so here's some of the things that we're going to be discussing, and it's going to open up as usual with a drum call and libation, and of course the Ulu connection, and then that's at 12:15, and then the Ujamaa, family-centered economics, which of course is what they profess as family or cooperative economics, Ujamaa. Then there was the first plenary, the case of restructuring, Us Lifting Us. Then tomorrow, beginning at 12:30, afternoon session, cooperative growth with UBC, cultural expressions, testimony of a runaway slave, and then getting to know Ulu, those members who are in Us Lifting Us, the voices of the ancestors praising the Ulu spirit. And even at the end, there's a Tai Chi with a sister. She's going to be doing some Tai Chi and those movements that people do and so forth. Yeah. And then on Sunday, the business development process. And then at 12:30, cryptocurrency workshop. There's a lot of information about cryptocurrency and, you know, I'm quite sure you have some questions, so that may be something that you definitely want to listen to, talking about cryptocurrency. And then cultural expressions, that tour of the art gallery on the website and what's new from New Reality. Those are just some of the highlights that are going to be happening at the Ulu Conference. Brothers and sisters, I really appreciate you listening as always. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day and a great weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things that you should do, must do, can do, and will do. And will do. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Habibi Fahodie. Habibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. See you back on. See you on Monday when Baba Baruti will be my guest. We're going to dispense with the announcements. We're going to try to get him as much time on the horn as we can, because I know his time is, you know, he's an educator, but he's going to take the time out to do this. So I hope you'll join us. Brothers and sisters, have a good weekend, and see you Monday.